At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now, a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay in your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they all saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what is lost." Today we are continuing in the Gospel of St. Luke, and we need a little refresher where we've been for the past 2 weeks. So 2 weeks ago we heard that we must pray always. And we were told that that's not a ridiculous or an impossible thing to do, but perhaps we need to broaden our understanding of prayer. And so we talked about how prayer, certainly that time you go alone in your room, certainly that time when you come to church, but prayer is also when we feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and that week in particular, we learned that prayer was working for justice, remember? Because we had the widow, and the widow was the symbol for God. And how we must combine our voice with the voice of the widow and work for justice. Very good. So we heard how justice was very much part and parcel of what it means to pray always. Last week, we heard a story about a Pharisee. And whenever we hear Pharisee, we say, uh-oh, yeah. Uh-oh. We say, uh-oh, and a tax collector. And we heard how that Pharisee went to the synagogue and stood all by himself and didn't connect to people. And Marcel, he stood there with his arms folded because he wasn't connecting. And then we heard about his prayer where he said, "Oh, God, thank you that I am not like those people. They're greedy, adulterous, or even like that tax collector. Thank God I'm not like him." And how his prayer was just not very good, even though he was very blessed. And he was thanking God for being blessed. "I'm so blessed. I'm so wonderful. Thank you, God." Luke does not like Pharisees. But we hear how the tax collector comes and says, "Lord, have mercy on me." Because he was humble, he recognized reality. "I am a sinner." And we heard how that prayer was a good prayer. Okay, and so now we're continuing along in the gospel, and we hear that Jesus is en route, because we know that the tagline of Luke's gospel is on the road again. He's always on the road again, so he's on the journey. We're journeying with him. And in this journey section, we're learning what it means to be a disciple and how we're to respond to God, learning about prayer, learning about all kinds of things. So now he's on the road again, and he's going to pass through Jericho. Uh-oh, right? because we know about Jericho. Jericho is Sin City. It makes Daytona look like the Vatican. It is Sin City. Nothing ever good came out of Galilee, and certain nothing ever good's gonna happen. It's worse than Ridgewood. I mean, do you wanna really drive on Ridgewood? You know, high crime, red light zone. And besides that, St. Paul is there, so we would never wanna go on Ridgewood. Anyway, but anyway, Jesus, because he goes where no one dares to go, he's going to go through Jericho. That's where the guy was going to when he got mugged, because that's what happens in Jericho. You get mugged. It's high crime, red light district, drugs, everything. So that's Jericho. So he's going to go through Jericho because, you see, Jesus likes everybody. I don't know. He even wants to go there. So we hear he's on the road. Now, we hear in Jericho there's this guy, and this guy's name is Zacchaeus. Don't confuse me. It's a long day. Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus. Now, obviously, when Luke gives somebody a name, it's for a reason, because we're not, you know, he's not writing history, okay? So we have to say, what does Zacchaeus mean? Well, Zacchaeus means pure one of God. Okay, so that's his name, Zacchaeus. Now, we hear that Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus, but he can't. Because he's short in stature. Well, he can't, first of all, because of the crowd. Because the crowd, people get in the way. I don't lie. I'm not allowed to lie. Okay, they get in the, what they call it, the crowd, call it the church, call it the whatever. People get in the way, okay? So, now they get in the way, and we hear now he's short of stature. Now, actually, the word short is not the word, really, that Luke uses, because he uses the same word for short as he did for whoever amongst you leads a little one astray, better to put a millstone around your neck and throw. So he uses little one. It doesn't really say short. It says little one. Okay, so it says little. Let the little ones come to, little ones, you know. So he's basically saying people with LMS. You know what LMS is? Little man syndrome. Yeah, LMS. At the last mass, we had a woman. She sat over there where Tony is, and she said, oh, yeah, I was married to one. She did. Am I lying, Rachel? No, she did. And I said the operative word there is was, okay? Because we know LMS is not real attractive. You know, he's really little, and he's got the truck outside with the big wheels. And he gets out of the big truck, and he's like, and then he's got the attitude like the Chihuahua. You know, he's going to attack everybody. Okay, so he's got LMS, little man syndrome. And he's short. And, you know, remember the song, Short People Got No Reason to Live? I mean, I'm short. That's not a very nice song. But, you know, so, I mean, but short people, short people are mean because we're closer to hell. Oh, that's so scary. Oh, my. We're not. But, you know, short people, you know, we don't want to see them as leaders. You know, give me a little box to stand on so I don't look so short or make the pulpit shorter, you know. So, anyway, so short people weren't like then, and they're not like now, and he's got LMS. So anyway, this guy's got lots of issues. So he wants to see Jesus. So he climbs a sycamore tree. Now clearly, Luke could have just said he climbs a tree, because Ringo wouldn't have cared what kind of tree it was. But we have to say, well, why does he say a sycamore tree? Obviously, we're supposed to be making connections. See, Ringo's making those connections. I can see those wheels turning. Sycamore tree. Well, if you know about a sycamore tree, my dad had one in Orlando. It's got these big leaves. And when they fall, they make a big mess. But anyway, they have these big leaves. And the big leaves resemble fig tree leaves. Okay? Fig tree is important because a fig tree symbolizes Judaism. Okay? The fig tree. Fig tree takes us back to the book of Genesis, because what did Adam and Eve cover with? Fig leaves, yeah, those big leaves, okay? Now, the difference between a sycamore tree and a fig tree is that the sycamore tree also has deep roots, like a mulberry tree. And we heard a few weeks ago how if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell this mulberry tree to uproot itself and be planted. It was like 3 weeks ago. You remember, Joan, okay? So it's not that long. You've got to remember for at least 3 weeks. Okay, so we had the mulberry. So the sycamore tree's got deep roots, and it's also got fig leaf-looking things. Now, actually, as soon as I said sycamore tree, I know right went through Ringo's mind. He said, wait a minute. Who is the dresser of sycamore trees? Huh? Right, Amos, good job. Where are you from? Taipei. Oh, where? Taipei, wow, welcome. That's pretty far away. Yeah. I don't even know where it is, but it's pretty far away. In the South Pacific, I failed geography very badly. Okay, well, we're glad you're here, welcome. So Amos is the dresser of sycamore trees. Now, we all remember about Amos, famous Amos, not the cookies, Joan. No. We have a one-track mind. Joan and I like chips, but we also like cookies. Okay, no, not Amos the cookie guy. But Amos is the prophet of the Old Testament, and he lived during a time of peace where there was great disparity between the rich and the poor, the haves and the have-nots. Not much of a middle class. Gee, sound familiar? Anyway, so Amos came and he preached justice. Is that a surprise? That's not a surprise. Because Luke's gospel, you know, whenever you write an essay, Jeannie, you always have a thesis or a theme. And you have to always remember the theme of Luke's gospel, which is the mission statement of Jesus. Okay, the mission statement of Jesus is to bring glad tidings to the liberty to let the oppressed go, bring sight to the blind. Oh, it's a long day. Sight to the, and to announce a year of favor of the Lord. Okay, which is basically the definition of justice, okay? So, this pure one climbs the tree of faith, climbs the tree of Judaism, and climbs the tree of justice, okay? So he climbs this, sycamore means a lot of things, climbs the sycamore tree. Okay, now notice in this part of the story, Zacchaeus had not met Jesus and said, hi, I'm Zacchaeus, who are you? Jesus, nice, Sue, right? Nice to meet you, Sue. I'm Phil. Okay, nice to meet you. Okay, no, that didn't happen, okay? We didn't hear that in the story. But we hear Jesus is walking to through Jericho, and he looks up, and he sees this man, and he says, pure one, come down. Pure one. That's Zacchaeus means pure one. Zacchaeus means pure one. Pure one. Pure one? What, are you crazy? Now, we got a problem here, because you see, Luke says this Zacchaeus is two things. He's a tax collector. Luke likes tax collectors, right? Last week we heard he likes the tax collector. Tax collector gets it right. He's the chief tax collector. So we really like him. He's the chief of what we like. But we also hear he's wealthy. Uh-oh. Luke does not like Pharisees, and he doesn't like the rich. Remember, in Luke's gospel, we hear the Magnificat. The rich he sent empty away. We heard the story of the rich man who thought it was okay to step over the homeless guy, the hungry guy, and go into Zappies. He thought that that was okay. Seriously, that's just fine. Seriously, seriously, right? How you do seriously? Seriously. Okay, so he thought that was okay, and it does not go well for the rich guy. So now this Zacchaeus, he's a tax collector. We like that. He's a rich guy. And we always wonder when we hear Luke's gospel, how are rich people ever going to get to heaven? Because Luke just really disses them. You know, he's not too happy. You know, remember, Luke is the MSNBC. He's not the Fox. That's Matthew. He's not the CNN. That's Mark. Luke is the MSNBC. So he does not like the rich people. So anyway, so we got this Zacchaeus guy. So he says, pure one. Pure one? He's a tax collector. This is Jericho. Not too many pure ones here. Pure one, come down quickly, immediately.
That sense of urgency in Luke's gospel. Come down quickly because I am going to stay in your house. Now, he's not talking about a house. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. See, Gene, they pay attention. Under my roof, okay?
So come into his being. He wants to enter into him. And Zacchaeus comes down and receives him with joy. You see, because unlike the crowd who does not get it, who does not recognize that Zacchaeus is a child of God and a pure one, Jesus recognizes who he is. He sees him as the pure one. Now, as you know, we always choose our first reading because it's got something to do with the gospel. And in our first reading, we hear from the Book of Wisdom, we heard that God loves all that he created, and he loathes nothing that he created. I sum it up rather simply. God don't make junk. God don't make junk. And so Zacchaeus, contrary to what the crowd thinks, Jesus recognizes who he is, the pure one of God. Because he is recognized for who he is, he responds. He responds, and we can compare him a little bit to the guy we heard about last week, because we heard about the Pharisee last week who said, I don't fast once a week, I fast twice a week. Obviously, we're not talking about me. Anyway, I fast. I don't give 10% of my net, I give 10% of my gross. So now we're comparing a little bit, a little parallelism going on, because now we hear what this guy says. And he says, out of response to who he is, not because he's afraid, but because he is the pure one of God, he says, I'm only required to give back double, but I give back four times. I'm only required to give some of my possessions, I give half my possessions. Because Zacchaeus recognizes that he is loved. And because he is loved, he responds to God. One of the things I do most in my ministry is try to help people recognize that they are loved by God. It seems as though the greatest difficulty to get over is self-loathing. And it goes back to when people were children, I find, because perhaps just one day their father got drunk and said to their son, what is wrong with you? And from then on, there's something wrong with me. Or one day, mom was having a bad day, and she said, you idiot. Is that politically correct? You dummy. I don't know. She said something not nice, okay? Or said, you're bad. I've heard mothers say to their kid, you're bad. And I say, no, they're not bad. They do bad things, but they're not bad. And so we hear these voices when we're growing up, and somehow or another we fixate on them. We may have heard lots of good things. We don't remember that. We remember the bad things, how we're not good enough, how we're not lovable enough, and we develop self-loathing. People continue to give people self-loathing, even as church. We say to people, oh my gosh, you're LGBTQ, you're not good enough, you're morally disordered, you're not welcome here. Read the scripture, folks. God don't make junk. If you belong to a church that teaches you to hate anyone, to not love anyone, to be fearful of others, you need to find a new church, because that's not the message of the gospel. We hear the church say, oh my gosh, you're divorced. You're divorced? I don't mean to pick on people. You're divorced and remarried? Oh my gosh, you're not good enough. Because you had a failed marriage, you're not good enough? Read the scripture. God doesn't make junk. God loves all that he created. All. He loathes nothing of what he created. Get it right. And we hear these voices and we internalize them. And then because we have self-loathing, we turn to drugs. We turn to alcohol. We turn to food. We turn to bad relationships. We turn to porn. We turn to whatever we turn to in hopes that we will somehow or another feel better because we have self-loathing and we need to get rid of that self-loathing. That's the message of today's gospel. Because when we get rid of self-loathing and recognize that God don't make junk and that we are loved by God, we respond. We don't give away half of our possessions because we're afraid to go to hell. We give away half our possessions because God loves us. And we are filled with that love that we give it away. We give it away not two times of what we should, but we give it away four times of what we should because he loves us. Jesus recognizes Zacchaeus as the pure one. He is filled with joy. He responds in faith. He responds climbing that tree of faith and that tree of justice. We hear at the end of today's gospel that Jesus came to seek what was lost. That's not Zacchaeus. That's the crowd. That's the crowd that blocks people. It is the crowd that keeps people from seeing Jesus. Today, Luke reminds his community and reminds us that we are loved by God. Because of that love, we must respond. Amen.